Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
First dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? My dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We have the chance to turn the pages over, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Spurs were magnificent. Fulham got themselves a win and Villa won the Brum Derby. Good to see you, people. Good to bloody well be with you.
Yeah, we're in your ears. Uh-huh. They look hungry. Get ready for dinner.
Jim Campbell's
audio
here.
Audio dinner, hello.
And he's ready for this audio dinner as he correctly describes it. Luke is still in the States, so dry your eyes and we'll continue.
Yes.
Let's start with the Premier League, gentlemen. Mm. Let's start with the Premier League. I told you Spurs would go for the jugular.
That's what you wrote in the running order.
It was very smug.
The first words written on today's running order, I told you.
Mm.
You've got to be... Jim, I'm wrong about so many things.
Let me don't put them on the running order.
In a way, I don't need to. You know. But they were magnificent, weren't they?
Really were. Yeah, they were annoyingly good.
How was it only 3-1?
Well, that's it, isn't it? I think, you know, it's one of those sort of cliches that you see in post-match dissections of games so often. It's like, oh, it could have been 7 or 8.
Why did you do a North East accent that one?
Because of Alan Shearer. He's who I thought of.
Okay.
Just immediately.
Say sorry to the North East.
No. Often it's a cliche and it's not actually true. But this time, Spurs created a lot of good chances that they didn't put away, and it genuinely could have and probably should have been a lot higher.
That's how good they were. They would have come away winning 3-1 against Chelsea thinking, God, should have won by 5. It really should have been a battering. You know, like, I know that sounds ridiculous. They've scored by convincing, you know, they've won by a convincing margin, beaten Chelsea for the first time in the Premier League this season. And yet, if I was a Spurs fan, I mean, maybe a little bit gutted that it wasn't five.
Massively, especially in like the first half an hour as well, because Chelsea, as they have all season, they've got a really slow start in them.
Yes.
And they never really got going. And the game was almost over by half time. They talk about it being the most dangerous scoreline, 2-0. I wasn't buying it in that game.
No. Yeah, it's not as dangerous as 1-0, is it?
No, no.
Or 3-0
really
down.
But they seemed to concentrate on Jorginho. He just couldn't get the ball out. He completed fewer passes than he has all season. He just didn't have any sort of game.
It shouldn't be that easy, should it? We'll target one player and then the whole thing will be a pack of cards.
Also, as well, the fascinating thing is that, you know, probably the best player in the league at dealing with that is N'Golo Kante. Yeah. And he's just out of position further up the pitch.
Kante had to kind of start moves and it just wasn't... It's not in his wheelhouse, really, is it?
No.
It really... Sarri's comments were interesting when he said, well, they normally line up with a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3, but this time they played a 4-3-1-2 and, didn't really have an answer.
I like his honesty.
I do like his honesty, but it's quite strange, isn't it, where you think... It can't have been just that, because they were so pedestrian, Chelsea.
Yeah, well, when I say Conte, it's not in his wheelhouse, I mean that he should be playing a much more defensive game. But if you've kind of locked up Jorginho, it's down to him to start stuff. I thought Ali was at his shithousing best. There's no one better on the field when he's really on it. When he goes full Del Cano and just kind of becomes this bubbling magma monster.
He's got a proper, like... school bully grin, you know what I mean, when things are going his way.
Because he doesn't look like a bully.
No.
He's not particularly big or imposing.
I think he's bigger than you might think, actually.
He might be taller, but he's not. He's a bit wiry.
Yeah.
He's not particularly...
Dele Alli could kick the shit out of you.
Mm. He'd have to catch me first.
He'd
have to find me first.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, I'm in my old age, now my pace is pretty much gone, I'm pretty good at hiding.
Right, okay. Hiding in a game.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. That's the sad reality.
But Spurs just came out of the blocks and they pressed and pressed and pressed and Chelsea just had no kind of reply.
They didn't, did they? I mean, no. Hazard tried to do a few things and there was a couple of penalty shouts. One looked pretty spot on. I thought he was unlucky and then the second one maybe not. But it gets so... Oh, dear me. But Spurs, you know, a couple of people suggested it was their best performance since that 3-1 win against Real Madrid in the Champions League. And you'd probably say so. When Spurs play like that... And Spurs have had a good start to the season. I think that because...
It's the best start to a Premier League season ever, isn't it?
There you go. It backs up my point, Jim.
I was trying to do that.
It's such a big albatross of a stadium, though, isn't it? It just makes it sound like, oh, no, we're kind of in a halfway house still.
And I think that's...
Well, in the that's all people are talking about, and they think that behind the scenes it's a bit more of a mess than it actually is, and I think that's just down to the fact there's a situation where they need to be in their new stadium and they're not going to make it.
Well, I think the thing is, though, as long as they're playing well, which they are, and obviously Wembley feels like a home to them now because they've been there for long enough, I think that will ease that transition when they finally get in there. It's going to be a great feeling when they do get in there. So I don't think that'll be a problem for them.
Sissoko bumbling his way into a good performance.
Yeah, it's just incredible. Just incredible.
Does that annoy you now, Pete?
Got it in him, but it's just in the same way that, some footballers for Newcastle United, Modiame, occasionally has a good game for Newcastle. Yeah. And it's kind of like they sort of, both players kind of bumble their way into a good performance every now and again, but 9 times out of 10, that's very much not the case.
Very true.
He needed one. I do rate it. You don't pay £30 million for a player, panicked or otherwise, if you're not going to... if he's not going to turn in a performance like that every 10 games.
True, so. Every 10. Is it up to that, is it?
I think it is, pretty much. Yeah,
I think that with Spurs, it gives the club such a huge boost, this result, because you're right when you say about the stadium, but you're also right, again, what you're both saying, is it a big thing, is it not? But the bigger thing are the results, and although they're you know, in the top four, we made a bit of stuff about the game against Liverpool, which was a little while ago now, and then against Manchester City, where they were distinctly second best in both of those games. So to play the side who have been, up till now, the third best side in the country, and Chelsea,
brush them aside as if they're Huddersfield.
Exactly.
Well, with respect to Huddersfield.
I was going to say, they were all right this weekend. We'll come on to them in a bit. But yes, I take the point. It gives the club such a huge boost. And bearing in mind, Pochettino has made noises...
tummy rumbles.
Yeah, very slight tummy rumble. I should say, indeed. That
little burps.
Actually, you know what? I won't have the cheese board. You know, those sort of rumbles.
Indeed, yeah. Speaking from experience, there, Jim. I'm sure as an Arsenal fan, but at a result like this, suddenly everyone goes, "Hang on a minute, we are a bit bloody good, aren't we? Mm-hmm. And
I think Arsenal on Sunday is going to be a really interesting match if they don't.
Well, they've got Inter midweek.
Chips in against Inter in the Champions League. So.
Indeed, yeah. So, yeah, a huge thing like that. So, bearing in mind all the stadium stuff and what Pochettino said. I mean, Pochettino said after the game, the staff are so happy managing this group of players. We need to be humble and recognise that. Playing like this, we can do big things. Suddenly, it's all galvanised and everyone's feeling really, really good. I mean, they're only 5 points off Manchester City. So, again, the league position and some of the rumblings and whatnot don't quite match up.
Yeah.
But with regards to Chelsea, you know, Sarri said, going to them, it was clear after 5 minutes that it was a really, really difficult to use Jorginho as usual. And he said, we have a lot of problems to solve, but I knew that very well before the match. And a couple of Chelsea fans seemed to think that this performance was coming.
Mm.
Yeah, which...
I'd have that.
Yeah, why would you think? Because of the...
In the similar way that Arsenal have kind of... Again, bumbled their way to a couple of results they possibly didn't deserve. Mm-hmm. This weekend's been a really good example. I think Chelsea have kind of flattered to deceive at times, I think.
Yeah. David Luiz, not his best.
Yeah, no. He didn't have a great one. But I mean, like, it's piss boiling. If I was a Chelsea fan, and I would hate to be one because... Not
come along.
Nice
hey, come on.
Eden Hazard. Every single match... This time's Canapalu, he's sort of saying, I'm probably going to leave. Yeah. Every fucking week.
It's mad, isn't it? Especially after they've lost.
Oh,
that's
my
such
God.
Such terrible timing.
Fuck you.
It is a
just
bit, isn't
go
it?
Go away then.
Yeah.
But this is
play
it, though, isn't
Lille.
It?
Play for Lille. Play for fucking Real. I don't care.
Yeah.
You're going to turn in a, you know, an underwhelming performance when we know you've got one in you. When you know you've got like a really good performance in you and then just sort of go, oh, I might live next summer or I could be here for the rest of my career. Yeah. Well, if you're going to do this every fucking week, piss off.
Well, I think you've spoken on behalf of certain Chelsea fans. Mm.
Yeah. I'd love to see you manage the transfers from now on.
Indeed, yeah. We've got to mention Son up front for Spurs.
What a finish. Huffin-esque.
he missed a few chances, fair enough. But that goal was, I mean, aided by David Luiz sort of going, oh, is that him going past me? I think it is. yeah. But he was wonderful. You know, Kane looked, this sort of, everyone seemed reinvigorated. Mm. And we suggested this after the international break that would the likes of Kane after, you know, helping England go through to the semi-finals. Would they be a bit reinvigorated and so on? And it seemed to be.
Yeah.
Intensity, they had more intensity than the other side. And if you run faster and run harder, you're going to get results.
A chance.
you're giving yourself a chance.
Kane's goal, that was fascinatingly weird, wasn't it? In a game where they made a lot of chances, that was a strange one to be one that actually went in. Luiz just turning his back on it and the goalkeeper presumably and understandably assuming that he would have done something about it.
Mm. I think that Chelsea obviously started very, very slow. Spurs went for the jugular and they scored. Mm. But that Kane goal, that type of goal, I think that you can start slowly and Spurs can start very quickly, and they did. And they thought, right, we're going to blow them away here. Missed one or two chances as well. That can happen in a game. But I think the manner of Kane's goal actually completely defeated any possible fight or any possible comeback intentions that Chelsea had. It was just kind of like, oh, Gordon Bennett, what is that about?
Yeah, I think it's almost like it rocked their confidence in themselves. And as Peter, as you touched on, how maybe they've been papering over some cracks just with the fixture list a little bit and just, you know, how the Premier League seems quite weird and top-heavy this season. That might have been the case. Sarri said before the game that there is an excellent team in the league in Man City, a very good team in Liverpool, and then four teams below that fighting for the other top two places, which, you know, I think most people agree with. But
fighting for the cigarette stub.
As many as four.
I think we all thought Chelsea might be better than that, than being in that four.
Yeah.
That it might be a three. Going for the top, but I think this performance gives you the impression that perhaps that is not the case.
Indeed, yeah. Mm. Well, when I say it's as many as four, I'm thinking, yeah, well, you're obviously Arsenal, Chelsea, Spurs, struggling to find another one, Jim, if I'm honest with you, because, I mean, okay, let's move on to Manchester United. it seems relevant, and they obviously drew 0-0 at home with Crystal Palace. It was Manchester United's first home league clean sheet of the season. I feel that's not the story.
Yeah, it's amazing that you've pulled a positive out of that that is still such a damning negative.
It's always, as I say, Jim, and as many people do, it's always pleasing to keep a clean sheet.
Yes. Extraordinary, Marcus.
it was another crap result there for Manchester United, let's be honest. They were booed off. They've won 3 out of 9 matches at home this season. They are in 7th, 7 points off 4th spot. It's not stopping, is it?
No, it isn't. And it feels like the chaos around the club that was there maybe... you know, a month or so ago when all that stuff with Pogba was happening has calmed down, but the results and the performances have got no more inspiring, really. I mean, because he dug out Anthony Martial, didn't he?
Probably.
Afterwards. But he's like, he's been on fire. He's been excellent for them. He's been one of the real
bright spots. He's been up and down, but he's at least there's been ups.
He's, all he's done is dig people out. His garden must look like Mall Hill. he's running out of people to dig out.
Yeah.
Apart from himself. He's not done himself yet.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe. No. Are you saying that's the problem? can't be. But it does. I think we have an international break and we forget about Mourinho and what's going on at Manchester United. And it comes back and we think, why are we surprised?
Oh, yeah, still shit.
Yeah. But this isn't going to change, though, is it? I mean, to be honest with you, Palace could have had a result there. I mean, a win, rather.
They could have.
Andros Townsend, when he galloped through.
I've got to say, though, like a lot of people have been pointing that out as a big miss. But I think if you look at David De Gea there,
he makes himself
so big. Mm. Like, that's really good goalkeeping
and he didn't touch the ball.
And
Andros Townsend, because of his pace and because he is one of the few kind of goal threats for Crystal Palace, I think it's arguably the case, along with Zaha. I think he... Everyone thinks he can score more goals than he has. I think he's only ever scored two or three goals a season.
He's not scored many
in his career, and I think people think he's more of an attacking player than he is. He's a provider.
They tend to be quite eye-catching when he scores, don't they? So I think that's probably why.
Well, the two that have just leapt to mind that he scored for England were both from the outside of the box. Mm. You know, so yeah, I take the point.
And Zaha was in a situation where he had to come so deep to pick up the ball, and it was just in a situation where like he shouldn't have to come that far back, and there was a reason why he was kind of nullified a little bit because he was out. He's kind of a lot like having to pick up the ball deep doesn't work for him.
Indeed, yeah. But it was a good point for Palace, of course.
Yeah.
And as I said, they kept the clean sheet as well.
Yeah.
They're down in 16th, just 1 point off the relegation zone. But they've had a tough run in the last four: Arsenal, Chelsea, Spurs, and Manchester United. And they've got Burnley, Brighton, and West Ham next. So they'll need wins, and they're quite fancy.
This is a great platform for that, isn't it, as well? Like, because, I mean, you know, whatever trouble Man United have had, it's still a big scalp, which. Neatly leads me on to Sean Marouane Fellaini.
I thought you were going to say Jovino.
I did a Marcus style link there.
Appreciate that.
Very good. Nice to get the chance to. But can we discuss Fellaini without his hair?
It's strange.
The hair is different. Well, the tackles are the same.
Same old tackles.
Yeah, it's disarming, isn't it?
Well, it happened a couple of weeks ago, but had he been seen on the pitch? I can't remember, to be honest.
He must be freezing.
Yeah, it's not the time to be Sean, is it?
I was going to say, was it a foul? What do we think? Oh, no, sorry. It was a foul, right? Let's be clear. Should he have... Was it an accidental one? What do you reckon?
I don't know. He's quite rough and tumble and...
At the best.
You know how jellyfish don't actually... think they're not sentient.
I thought you said they don't have bones.
Yeah, well, they sort of react purely on instinct, don't they? They're not actually thinking. Right. And I think Fellaini and actually Sissoko as well are sort of like that, aren't they? When you see them on the pit, just like, is there any intention here or is it just chaos? Is it just reactive chaos?
I quite like that, yeah.
Because you see those adverts about like, don't throw your carrier bags in the sea. It's probably not that, but it's, you know, remember to recycle. Yeah. Because
I mean, don't throw your carrier bags.
Because seafaring animals can't decide what is a jellyfish and what's a carrier bag. I was thinking, well, if they're not sentient, what is the difference?
Yeah, and also...
chuck all your carrier bags in the sea, it's fine.
Stay away from both.
Yeah, I was
jellyfish
say,
like, are actually doing bags
of
favour.
What sort of relationship have you got with a jellyfish that you might... Anyway, less said about that, the better.
Well, you just invented that situation, Marcus.
Did I, Peter?
Yes.
Did I? Jose Mourinho accuses players of not showing enough heart.
Definitely a different organ.
Is that...
didn't show enough legs. Skin. I don't know what legs are, organs.
I mean, he's running out of reasons.
What seems to be the problem?
They're staying up too late.
Is not enough heart? Is it enough quality? I don't know. I mean, took Paul Pogba off after 70 minutes.
Mm, to make a point about who even knows anymore.
He's got a wheel of misfortune, hasn't he? Who should I take off to dig out?
That stat was interesting on Match of the Day that said that I think only Fulham have changed their starting 11 or made more changes to starting 11 than Manchester United.
Right.
Now, I know Man City were quite high up in that list, but, you know, I feel that's not relevant when talking about those other sides. And Fulham, it was, you know, we'll talk about them in the second half, but Manchester United, we've made the point a number of times, as have others, that he doesn't know his best side. And to me, this is just ridiculous now. It's not working with Mourinho, and it's not going to work. Yeah. This is what is it? They're going to trudge along to sixth finish or a fifth place finish at best.
Yeah.
And so it begs the question, should they pull the trigger now, wait till the end of the season? I mean, it just seems extraordinary that Manchester United are still in this situation.
Yeah. You would think, obviously, Man United expect to be challenging for the title at the beginning of every season. That's clearly not going to happen this season, while Man City are just smashing people for fun. And obviously, quite often people say, how come you're not talking about cities? And it's because it's not unusual or notable for them to win 4-0 or whatever, is it?
So, indeed, like, yeah.
Whereas, and that is, you know, that I just don't see how. Can you see Mourinho winning the title with Man United next season?
No.
It just looks like it will never happen. So no, it seems inevitable at this point.
Yeah, indeed it does, yeah. I mean, yeah, we can talk about Manchester City for a bit. I mean, yes, they were brilliant. They humbled another side 4-0 without being sort of churlish, but it's...
I know a guy who lives in America, he's a big West Ham fan. He's never seen West Ham win.
Oh, is that right?
And he was over for the Man City match. No. What are you playing at?
Oh, what's he doing? I hope he...
Bless him.
Did he leave early? Because there was a lot of empty seats.
I think he still had a nice day with his good lady, but yeah.
I suppose you would. Well, that's another thing. Manchester United, there's a lot of transfer speculation with certain players surrounding the club. Now, there's one or two leaving, like Pogba, and David De Gea has been linked to Paris Saint-Germain. But there's also talk about signing players. No other big clubs, I don't think... that's happening for a January. I mean, there is one or two, but with Manchester United, they talk about an enormous bid for Koulibaly from Napoli to try and plug up the defence. And there's now talk of Arnautovic. It just, again, it seems...
a funny one.
Yeah, it just seems panicked. Mm. It just seems like...
But that said, also, if you want to sell newspapers or get clicks on your website, talking about Man United being in a bit of a state is something that... Yeah, it's enjoyable, isn't it? I mean, we're doing it now. We're talking about the game that was last on match of the day. So
let's move on to an ad break.
I think it's time for an ad break, ladies and gentlemen. We will be back after this.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
No, la.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. The noise of Diego Maradona there.
Yeah. And it was a noise, wasn't it? It wasn't very well thought out.
Yeah, it was a post-match interview in which it was put to him. He was asked if he had much knowledge about Mexican football before heading over there. And that's not Spanish, is it? That's just a noise.
Just say yeah a little bit.
Just lie.
Yeah. He must have had some knowledge, so a little bit covers a lot of, you know, outcomes and whatnot there.
This, the Mexican League is like a piñata. Pete, why are you not a manager? Because of shit like that.
Well, Peter, you're not a manager, but you are the manager of the emails, and it's now time for that section with you, PTD.
So smooth.
Oh, no, not the bees! Not the bees! Ah!
You've got mail.
It's really throughty, that, isn't it? It's a really throughty scream.
Amazing that it was the best take as well.
We'll go with that one. Hey, you can't kill 100 bees for nothing. You got to take that one. Claire has got in touch, PhD student in early modern literature. This is pertinent. And a fan of the show. I mean, what she's getting out of this show.
I was going to say, how not to do things.
I do speak a lot in Old English, to be fair. Did the football ramble. I thought you might be interested in a court record dating from 1680, recently shared by the Lancashire Archives. In this archival document, a prisoner named Thomas Sharrock complains about being committed to jail, unhelpfully for my sort of Monday brain, spelt the Old English G-A-O-L. Goal? For one box on the air given to Thomas Croshaw upon a scuffle at football. Sharrock complains about his imprisonment, pointing out that he himself was very ill-beaten and that the box on the ear was a very small offence, no blood being drawn. Lots of other texts dating from the 16th and 17th centuries describe violence at football matches. For example, a book printed in 1583, Philip Stubbs complains that football playing should rather be called a friendly kind of fight, because it's more bloody and murdering a practice than a fellowly sport or a pastime.
What was the date of that one with Philip Stubbs?
1583. Very early. Obviously before the rules.
I was about
had
to
been
say.
Committed well, to things.
Yeah, we wrote about this in the Football Ramble book extensively, because it used to be mob football, where basically whole towns would participate, and the idea was that you won the game by getting the ball. I think you had to throw it onto the rival town's church balcony or something like that. And a lot of the early records of football only exist at all because they're to do with like injuries or crime. Yeah. So it makes it sound like everything was completely chaotic, which by the sounds of everything about it, it also was.
It was a bit like cheese rolling.
Is it fair to say if you're, so you have to get the ball, you start halfway between the two towns or villages or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that can go on for a long time.
And things did get destroyed.
But
things
would they play like throughout the night? We were like, oh.
Yeah, they went on for ages.
Mm. Yeah.
It sounds brilliant.
Is that where the long ball game was first formed?
Big Sam, very much a big fan.
Oh, yeah, he's a product of that very much old school style.
The email goes on. Later in 1691, another writer quaintly described football as a rude diversion for the common sort of people played in frosty weather. It wasn't all doom and gloom, though. One book printed in 1565 celebrated how on New Year's Eve the rivers froze over and people went over the Thames on the ice from London Bridge to Westminster and played at the football as boldly and, thanks to God, as safely as on the dry land.
That's
amazing. It's like ice hockey or something like that.
Up in Nora.
So she goes on and says, who knows, maybe global warming induced climate change will offer us a chance to have a kick about on the Thames again.
Yeah.
There we go.
39th game.
In the Thames.
Lovely old job.
Maybe Arsenal can go south of the river again. Dave. Hello, Dave. Hi, guys. Further to your discussion on Euro 2020, there are a few things worth noting about Euro 2020. Thanks for that. First of all, a big if England and Scotland qualify for the tournament, they're already guaranteed to be in the same group. Group D, in fact. This is because each country that qualifies that has also been chosen to host matches is guaranteed to have at least two group matches at home. And so the host cities have been paired for specific groups, hence the guaranteed same group draw for England and Scotland. Wembley is paired with Hampden for all Group D games, so all matches in that group will be played in London or Glasgow. Same applies to Rome and Baku, St. Petersburg and Copenhagen, Amsterdam and Bucharest, etc., and the respective national teams. Bring on the broken crossbars and the Trafalgar Square fountains full of Bucky and Pace.
That would be very nostalgic of Euro 96, won't it? Especially if it ends up at Wembley.
I think that's really good news for both teams, because they'll either play, as you say, they'll play in a British city, and we can rely on the British people coming together,
and
supporting everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. We got so many emails about the fact that Chesterfield FC drawing with Eastleigh FC on Saturday meant that Chesterfield's 8th consecutive draw in the league is their 18th consecutive match in the league without a win. So basically, the Derbyshire side mean it means that the club have found themselves in the unique position in their history. They are simultaneously on their worst winless record ever and also their best unbeaten run for 12 years. Was Dickens talking about Paris in 1775 or Chesterfield in 2018 when he wrote that it was the best of times? It was the worst of times, says Bijan in Canada. So many people got in touch with that fact. And finally, for now, hello to Sam in London. It's quite a lower league story, but I'm sure you guys are aware of a man by the name of ex-Lincoln City legend Ben Futcher. He's now assistant manager at Mansfield Town. He would often have some of the other boys over for drinks, and basically Sam used to live opposite this ex-footballer. Mm-hmm. He would always have parties and stuff, which was very interesting to see. One Sunday, my friend and I were playing football in the street, as you do when you're 13 or 14, and he comes out to walk his dog. We engage in a bit of banter with him, I think due to the fact that he'd conceded a few soft goals the day before, to which he laughed, said he'd be back in a second. He disappeared inside and then came running out of his house with a box of eggs, faster than I have ever seen the 6'7" centre-back run for Lincoln. He then promptly chased us up and down the street, trying to egg us for our cheekiness.
Wow.
After all the eggs were thrown, he laughed he'd do better next week and went back to get his dog and continued on his walk.
Do better next week. Brilliant.
I don't know whether he means with the football or the eggs.
Yeah. Oh. Do you want to come round for hang on.
Big omelette. He's making a big omelette.
When you're a sort of, you know, between the ages of about 10 and maybe 15, yeah. Getting egged is a very real danger in your life, isn't it? But you don't imagine an adult doing that.
Jim, have you ever thrown an egg at anyone?
I haven't actually. I've been egged.
Have you?
A friend of mine got egged three times in a month in three separate incidents because we grew up in Essex and he was dressed a bit like a dandy.
Oh, I see.
Peter, it's just always weird sort of seeing footballers do weird shit.
Peter, you've thrown an egg at anyone before?
No, I don't think I have.
No, I don't think.
No. So none of us have.
Luke definitely has.
Yeah.
I remember playing.
We missed out. We should maybe do it.
I think I mentioned.
Should we egg Luke when he comes out?
I think I mentioned this Luke. In the Football Ramble book, available from all charity shops or Amazon. probably just Amazon. People do send pictures of the Football Ramble book in the charity shop as if to go.
You've made it.
Yeah. Well, it's like. We released a fucking book.
Yeah,
we
and
wrote
actually,
it.
The Goodreads reviews of it are bloody brilliant. And yeah.
Wait, and how many of them
on Goodreads?
Not only that, we're now providing more, yet more money for charity.
Exactly.
Yes. All right.
Exactly. Prostate cancer and Oxfam. We're all over the place. But I remember writing about Michael Brown, the ex-Man City footballer. He's from Hartlepool. He was just having a kick around with his friends on the Burn Valley where we used to play football. And we had a kick around, and obviously. He was a Manchester City footballer and he ran rings around us because we were like 16, 17. And then a man turned up with a hammer threatening to hit one of Michael Brown's friends. And I was like, this is weird.
Why?
This guy's a Premier League footballer.
Because he was so good.
No, just because he's got some beef.
Fallen afoul of Burn Hill for
I think he'd borrowed some money. Not Michael Brown, Michael Brown's friend or colleague.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so there we go.
My image of your childhood is sort of like, in cartoon panels, like the Beano. I don't picture actual reality. I can't.
And we all learned a little bit of ourselves about the end. And Michael Brown's friends.
There we are, you see. Let's move back to the Premier League, where Fulham got a big win against Southampton. Claudio Ranieri, he's already got them on an upward curve.
Is it fair to say it's a great team to play, to ease yourself in?
Yeah,
certainly bloody
is. Mark Hughes Southampton side.
Is it fair to say that Mitrovic gobbled up that Southampton defence?
Didn't he?
He's so good. According to Ranieri, he's one of the best strikers in Europe.
Well, I mean, and pound for pound, he probably is.
Well,
only
Aguero and Aubameyang have scored more than him in the Premier League this season. Just one more. They're on eight and Mitro's on seven. Mitrovic is the top scorer in the history of the UEFA Nations League.
Yeah.
See what you've done.
That you've done there, Marcus.
Oh, okay, he's the top scorer of the UEFA Nations League, but still, like, you
know, I didn't see him sort of getting on with
anyone.
With anyone.
The rest of the species.
There's still time. I still didn't. Did you see the picture of him eating a pizza?
I did.
In the dressing room after the match.
You see, his fellow countryman Jukanovic could have kept the lid on some Mitrovic-y type behaviour. Yeah. We will see what would happen.
It's pizza is like Claudio Ranieri's secret weapon, isn't it?
It is.
Throws pizza at every problem and it solves it.
To be fair, though, a lot of footballers actually will have a pizza. or at least a slice of pizza after the game.
Oh, is that right?
To replenish, yeah.
Yeah, to...
Because your body...
Replenish your pizza reserves, yeah.
Exactly. You've got to, if your pizza reserves are down for crying out loud... It's a serious matter.
Man, please, pizza, he's broken his leg.
Please see to that, ladies and gentlemen. There are numbers you can call and they will be delivered. But
wasn't there an ex-Fulham manager who was big on rubbing cheese on things?
Oh, Felix McGann. Yeah, he had it all wrong. Yeah. He had it all wrong.
Put some door. There needs to be a thin layer of door between the cheese and the knee.
For those who don't remember, it was it Bredde Hangel?
Yeah, I think it was.
The Scandinavian
man who's made of bread.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, or just add the cheese and you're away. Mm. A perfectly good meal. He said that one of Felix Magath's ways
was,
of dealing
it was like
with
an old wives' tale, wasn't it?
Indeed, yeah. It was rub cheese on the place that was. Maniac. You know, broken on the Maniac. Broken bone, and then also was it not phone your mother?
Yeah, and it was also at midnight. You had to do it at a certain time. Phone your mum and rub cheese
moon.
On your
Brilliant.
Knee. Yeah. I mean, that man's won titles.
He's won the Bundesliga.
Does he factor in time difference?
He won the Bundesliga with unfashionable side.
Yeah. Maybe it's not pizza. Maybe it's the cheese that solves the problem.
It's got to be the cheese.
I thought we didn't have any South Americans in the side. I'm half asleep. Why are you ringing me at midnight, you shit?
It's got to be the cheese.
They, because I thought, like, he's there to sort out a defence, and he probably will do that. And Mitra's not an on-the-break footballer. He's not a quick player. But he's
a great target man.
But he's a great target man, and he holds up the ball really nicely and stuff. And oh, that second goal.
Beauty.
Wow. Like, and he's, and that's the thing, though, isn't it? Like, he is very instinctual, and he is very kind of like emotionally led, kind of like, I'm going to hit that ball really quick. If he has a bit too much time, he invariably muffs it up. But he's an incredible
I do agree with that, by the way. I couldn't believe the first goal. Mm. What, three or four Southampton defenders around him? Well, we probably won't mark Mitrovic.
This is the thing, isn't it? Hughes was saying this after the game that he's really frustrated that if you look back at the game, they were probably, you know, not better in every area, obviously, but they were certainly had more of the thrust and looked like the team that were probably going to win it, but they're just so open at the back.
Mm. They missed chances, didn't they? And that's it. You know, the with Fulham, it's something to build on. It's a win and it gets people the confidence up and all the rest of it. But it wouldn't be shocking to think that if Fulham get beaten sort of four or five by Chelsea, I know Chelsea obviously hammered by Spurs, but very different kind of proposition.
It's like the most lacklustre derby in the league, really, isn't
it? Yeah, I think the amount of Chelsea fans, if you say you're a Fulham fan, they go, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Absolutely no hatred for you. Yeah, because I think in West London it's a very tiered system. So obviously Chelsea are the biggest side.
Yeah,
and then you probably nowadays it's Fulham, of course. But Brentford hate Fulham. Mm. Fulham probably would feel maybe a little. Do they feel that chippy? I don't know. I know QPR they hate Chelsea probably more.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a funny one because you've got four clubs. In that,
who hates the hater?
Indeed,
is the question.
That's right. Yeah, a lot of hatred.
Well, a lovely game we have.
Indeed. Now Claudio Ranieri is there to dissipate the hatred. You would think Ryan Sessegnon looked a lot better than what we've seen him.
Well, he said
so far this
he
season.
Said about Ranieri, the new manager is more tactical with this guy than the last one.
Yeah, but it's, I think that was it. With Ranieri said that he talked about having not just the quality, but also the fighting spirit. And I think that's where Jukanovic went wrong. I think Jukanovic was still thinking, we're good enough to play our way out of this. Mm. And again, I reiterate how good Fulham were last season.
Well, they looked a bit like that at times.
Yes. At the start of the season, there was moments.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in this game.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. And Tom Kearney in there, he's had a few injury problems and so on and blah-de-blah-de-blah.
They need clean sheets. They're the only team, I think, in the league who don't have a clean sheet, Fulham.
Yeah.
Which isn't a great record.
I like what Ranieri also said. He said, I asked my team to make a lot of crosses for Mitrovic because he is amazing in the box. He's like, just get it in.
Yes.
Get it in.
Sessegnon's ball over for Scheller's goal was magnificent.
It was a lovely one.
As you touched upon, it's really good to see him shine like that.
Indeed, yeah. Are Mark Hughes' days numbered now?
Yeah, get him out.
Yeah, I mean, he's got three wins for Southampton.
In 21 Premier League games in his entire...
Not many, is it?
...stint.
Did anyone expect anything different? Hughes said
it's all quite predictable that Southampton fans would start calling for this my sacking and all this. And
yeah, it is, mate.
Because of the lack of wins. I'm sorry. I don't...
This happens every time. I'm at the bottom of the league.
I'm trying to stop getting Premier League jobs, but they just keep giving them to me. I'm as confused as you.
Did Didier Deschamps come out in Paris when the World Cup was presented? Everyone's singing and dancing. Well, this is all very predictable because we won the Cup. You know,
we won more matches than everyone else.
It's a knock-on effect.
Unbelievable.
Go at your homes. I want a good night's sleep. It's been a nightmare. Oh, there we are. Staying down, not right down the bottom, though, anymore. Huddersfield, they were bottom. And then they got a fantastic win away to Wolverhampton Wanderers. No, I didn't at all. They're up to 14th. Bloody 14th.
Early goals are killing off teams. They really are. Like, oh, no.
Aaron Moy, what a day he had.
Their heads, Wolves... heads went down, which is weird because Wolves love sticking their head up and howling, but like they just never recover.
They're not werewolves, Pete. You're not aware of that.
They still put their heads up to a howl.
I think so. But Terriers looked much better, and they look like they're getting their act together, which is about time, really. I mean, David Wagner took them to Marbella during the international break. Bit of sunshine, maybe.
17 degrees. I googled it.
Did you really?
Couldn't believe how hot it is down there.
Incredible.
Wow.
Phil Billing, the young Danish midfielder, great game.
Gigantic bastard.
That clearance off the line.
Oh, that was glorious.
What a gigantic bastard.
Yeah. Well, as the chant goes.
That midfield... excuse me, sorry. Huddersfield had Hogg and Moy and Billing were superb. Mm. Very well drilled. Goal line clearances.
Sort of group of Victorian murderers. Perhaps accountants. I'm not quite sure. I'm not decided.
Indeed, yeah.
On the other side, I thought Traore came on and gave them a bit of fight, bit of impetus. Yeah. And he could have got something out of the game.
He's a train. He's incredible.
Fantastic.
A runaway train, yeah. But they've had a bit of a bad patch now, Wolves. Mm.
Yeah. But the thing is, they're still, I mean, where are they in the table? They're still 11th. Yeah. They haven't won in, is it five or six now? I'm not sure, but it's a while.
Yeah. Huddersfield winning is an interesting one because I think a fair few people thought they're for the drop. You know, and then they're just getting their act together. Obviously, there's a lot of football to be played. You know, it's
an aberration.
Still pretty tough. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think the relegation running might be quite fascinating because there are teams you think they might get their act together, and there are teams like one or two like Fulham or even Crystal Palace. You think surely they've got a little bit of quality that can get them out of there.
Yeah,
but they're still down there.
Yeah, Santo after the game was a joy to watch as he has been. He's sort of gone under the radar as a sort of like very charismatic like presence in post match interviews. He said even after a loss. In my job, it's easy to find the why.
Yeah.
And he strikes me, he reminds me of like the scientist who saves the day in a disaster movie, possibly played by Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, yeah.
He reminds me of Pythagoras.
Yes.
Anyways.
A regular.
Trying to find the why.
Yeah. But with even his name, Nuno Espirito Santo.
Yeah.
There is what we talked about,
and a former goalkeeper that's a manager as well.
Yeah,
rare thing.
There's a slight sort of wizard feel about him that we think so.
He sounds like a car.
Yeah, he does.
A little bit.
The Espirito Santo.
Espirito di Punto. That's what you're looking for, isn't
it? Yeah, that's it.
Find the why.
Well, he's got to find the why, and he seems very pleased. He likes a challenge, clearly. Mm. My team are crap. Yes, I'm going to find out why. This is much better than winning.
Ask for more.
Yeah, the last thing he wants is if they're winning back-to-back. What do you think? Well, we're just going to do more of the same.
He's learning to make pizza right now.
Damn right. But if he isn't, he bloody well should be. Bloody well should be. Let's move on to the Championship. There was a great Birmingham derby.
Huge.
Aston Villa won it, of course, 4-2. Alan Hutton, the goal for all of Birmingham.
Oh, Alex Shaw on Twitter said...
Maybe not all of them.
Hutton dressed as Lahm.
A lot of that.
Goodie, but an oldie. There is a Twitter account along the lines of... It's called something like, Has Hutton Scored? And every time they play it, just tweets, no. This time it went mad. And the idea behind it is that if you follow it and Alan Hutton scores, you have to go out that night. which I absolutely love.
That is very, very enjoyable. Yeah, it was his first goal at Villa Park for nearly 4 years, just to put that into more... perspective. It was just the way he picked it up. It was one of those ones where clearly a fullback who doesn't score many goals, and he's thinking a little bit further, a little bit further. Yeah. I might have to shoot in a minute here.
Yeah. Somebody tweeted us with it lined up next to Diego Maradona against England, and it is remarkably similar.
Yeah,
I think the defending is a little worse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
Reid was there, he might have got a foot in.
He's on his ass either way.
But yeah, brilliant. Tammy Abraham was excellent for Aston Villa as well. He's having a good time there. Jack Grealish said that his goal was the best moment of his career. Although when it went in, the commentator went, and the best moment of his life. And I remember thinking, well, you don't know
Let's
that.
Let's ask him that.
Yeah,
shall
absolutely.
We? The best moment of his life is like me when he stops having an undercut. It's
My my friend Paddy is a Villa fan, and he was delighted with what was happening, but also said it was kind of weird to see Jack Grealish score a header, and it sort of is.
Yeah, yep. It really is.
One of those size of the thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Close range. diving header, whatever diving header. I think.
Yeah. I thought Djokovic's opening goal.
Yeah.
Where he just watches it for the entire time it's in the air and just slots it home. I thought the opener was beautiful.
Yeah.
Really, really well taken.
Uh-huh. Dean Smith doing a decent job.
Yeah.
As Villa boss, he won his first game, lost the next two, but they won three on the bounce now, and he said he's got his eye on the top two.
Oh.
I know. Well, Villa at eight.
Weirdly unambitious. Let's go for the title.
Yeah.
I know, but...
I know what you know, but...
Come on. You know what I know. You know. Yeah, Villa at eighth, 7 points off Middlesbrough in second. Second.
Second.
But 6 points separate seventh and first in the championship. All too bloody well play for. Of course, Big Mick McCarthy isn't operating in the championship anymore, but he has entered the international arena, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes, Big Mick is back in the Ireland hot seat. We thought that that might be the case. It bloody well has happened.
Already been given his walking papers.
Yeah, which is that's true, isn't it? Yeah.
Enjoy this.
Already got a P45 written out.
All right, you've got the job, but you're not staying very long.
Yeah.
Trust McCarthy. Like the most dour man in football has been given a P45
I just
minus
one,
2 years.
I just want one tournament.
Yeah. And then I'll sack myself.
Because his demeanour just demands kind of like being up for it.
Yeah.
Like, he just really kind of instills a sense of excitement in his players, I imagine.
Well, I tell you what.
Come on then, lad. Let's get going.
he likes it, though, if he's having a go at his own fans. Yeah. When they've got...
And now he's got a whole country to pick on.
Hello,
again.
So yeah, in case anyone has missed this news, so McCarthy he's basically taken charge for just a Euros, hasn't he? And then Stephen Kenny taken charge.
That's good for Stephen Kenny. You know, he's done a marvellous job at Dundalk. You know, I think that this chat that one of, if not the most successful manager in the Irish League's history, or something like that. You know, he's done brilliantly well. So he's taken the under-21s at the moment, and it seems like, dare I suggest, Ireland fans, that there's a bit of a plan going on.
Yeah, no.
I mean, the plan does involve Mick McCarthy, all right? So let's, you know.
Yeah, what's Stephen Kenny Leaven learning in this situation?
Is this the same plan that England had with Stuart Pearce?
Yeah.
Maybe this is, you know, this kind of thing of temporary contract where you will be effectively relieved of your duties at some point is a common thing. And Mark Hughes has got another three games and then it will go. And it's always been the plan.
Yeah.
Mick McCarthy's obviously got the contract until after the Euros. I mean, presuming he lasts that long. You know, we shall see.
I'm sure he will.
Yeah. Well, we certainly hope so. Robbie Keane is going to be one of his assistants.
That's nice.
It all sounds good, doesn't it?
It does. It really does. Love
one,
that.
One for the purists.
All right then, ladies and gentlemen. After the break, speaking of purists, we're going to talk about the Copa Libertadores not final. And we're going to crack open the WhatsApp group. See you in a moment.
Steady with the language. I know English isn't your first.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, my good friends. Now then, the preview show sponsored by Bet365 will be recorded and released on Thursday. Petey, how did our best better get on?
He is the unstoppable Pete Machine.
Yes! Yeah.
Fulham to win, and there being over two cards, he managed it.
Oh,
that's £200 for prostate cancer.
Get in there.
Well, it's got to be said as well, his first one was a treble that also came in. So this is big.
Yeah, he's on for the hat-trick.
He is on for the hat-trick. Oh. The first ever ORE, Order of the Ramble Empire.
Luke's going to be back for this as well, so he'll be selecting the bet.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
love that.
Exciting.
Well played,
actually,
that
won't
man.
Be. I'll be selecting the bet. So it'll be my winnings.
Yeah. Charity winning. Charity winnings. You know, all bets
my
are
prospect.
For charity.
Yeah.
Well, less said about that, the better. excellent stuff. Right then. The Copa Libertadores final second mayhem.
Wow.
Mayhem. The word mayhem.
Wow.
What a mess.
I couldn't believe what I was seeing, that Carlos Tevez had been tear gassed ahead of the biggest game of his life.
Yeah.
And I will leave it there.
It's worth mentioning. It was quite dangerous.
I mean, the mad thing is, this is not even the first time players have been tear gassed in this fixture in the Libertadores.
Exactly. This is
the
reverse happened.
In the stadium.
And they did they get disqualified? Or they
I think Boca got fined and disqualified. Yeah.
So why is that not happening this time?
I think part of the reason that's not happening this time is probably both sides still want the game to happen, right? No one wants there not to be a winner in a competition like that, or to win it on a technicality.
And obviously, like they said at the time, like the eyes of the world were on this fixture massively.
So.
Everyone was talking about it. Mm-hmm. Once it was rained, the first half was obviously rained off a week ago, and it was so disappointing.
It was, yeah. I mean, the match was supposed to be played on Saturday after a number of delays. It was put back, and then It was to be played on Sunday, and then it was postponed all over again. And CONMEBOL, the the body of football body in South America,
a shambling body
indeed, have organised a meeting with all parties on Tuesday tomorrow to sort out a new date and time.
Yeah. Well, at the time, like, Infantino was sort of saying it has to be played, or they're going to get disqualified. Yeah. But maybe he didn't know the full extent of everything.
Well, I guess we can be very kind and give him the benefit of that doubt. Yeah, but there were players hospitalised.
Yeah, so there was three players, because the Boca Juniors bus went through. It was travelling to El Monumental, the River Plate Stadium, and it was pelted, and there was glass smashed. The bus driver apparently fainted, and the vice president...
Yeah, because there was tear gas in the goddamn bus, that's why. It was Rupert Fryer, South American football, quit your care, still exists. Mm. Either way, he's big on the South American football. He said it probably wasn't a good idea to have a bus with lots of Boca kind of decals on the side.
Indeed,
piling through a lot of River
But I think he
fans.
Said that before some of the details had come out, because it seemed a little bit like when Manchester City turned up at Anfield that time in the Champions League, and it was a bit raucous, and yeah, we don't want to see that stuff, but this is far worse. And actually, Argentinian football, read, if you want further reading on this, anything that Rory Smith or Miguel Delaney or Jonathan Wilson, they were all out there, those three journalists, they've written pretty well in, I think it was New York Times, Independent, The Guardian, some decent stuff. It'll give you a little bit more of the background. Yeah. We all know that fixture is absolutely huge. I mean, it's dubbed the Super Classico. Yeah.
I mean, there was talk, perhaps I think from Jonathan maybe, that this is arguably like the biggest game in the history of South American football.
Like
when
it
you
probably
sort of look at the fact that those two teams had never met in the final before, and the
and
spotlight being on it so much.
And it's the last two-legged affair
in
the Copa Libertadores final.
It's
incredible. It's almost like it's a closing of a chapter in that competition, which is there.
So in a way, this is apt.
Yeah, sadly. Well, indeed, yeah. It's a closing of a chapter in their sort of equivalent of the Champions League, if you like. Two of the fiercest rivals in world football, blah-de-blah-de-blah. The first leg was 2-2. It was poised. Everyone was thinking, come on. I mean, the amount of people I know here that are sitting down to watch it, it was going to be on the
but
TV.
It's going to be like shadow of what it was going to be. Which
Boca
really
won it, played
upsetting.
At a neutral venue.
Yeah.
You saw last week in Boca's last training session before they went, there was more than the capacity.
Yeah,
it should be in Boca Juniors Stadium, and then you saw the scenes at River Plate Stadium, El Monumental, when the fans were already in the ground and the noise and everything, it's such a shame. But there's so many people, ex players like Riquelme and Batistuta and all these players, are just saying we've disgraced ourselves in front of the world
massively. We conflate kind of passion. It's isn't it great that you got fans pissing on each other and fucking shooting flares, and there was videos of like a woman taping fucking flares to her daughter.
Just to smuggle them
into the thing, because they're not a frisky child.
Hey,
I nearly got
pissed on at an Argentinian match.
Yeah, there you go.
You
deserved it.
But if I will put my head in those places,
if you will sleep in the urinal, Marcus, you will get pissed on.
Who
mate.
Wants a piss jest?
Budget travel.
But it was a great shame. Both nearly getting pissed on, and obviously the final second leg not happening. So we wait to hear
if it will take place at all. I mean, I really hope it does.
Should they not do the match and then River win on away goals because they drew the... Would that piss people off even more, do you think?
Imagine.
We shall wait and see. All right, let's crack open the WhatsApp group.
Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that, Pete? Have you got a little jingle for that?
No, I've not got a jingle. No, we haven't got a jingle.
For God's sake!
Well, in the WhatsApp group, everybody. We'll start with this, a quote from Jimmy Glass, who was in 442 magazine. Recently, he said...
Do you want to give the background on who Jimmy Glass is? Most people will know this, but he, not everyone.
We know him as a former goalkeeper now, who scored the goal to keep Carlisle United, was it?
Yeah.
In the Football League, a 95th minute winner he scored. That's why we know who Jimmy Glass is.
Yeah.
Other than that, apparently he played for Plymouth. Yeah. No, he apparently played under Nigel Pearson.
Yeah, well, he floated around. He had the opportunity to sort of play a few games for Palace, and at every kind of stage, the poor guy just didn't get a break and just things just didn't go for
Ironically.
Him. But he's still remembered for being a man who scored a goal.
Look,
he's
goalkeeper
in the last minute.
He's etched in all of our minds.
And saved Carlisle from going down, which would have been bloody awful.
Ah, well done him. But this
I mean, he sent Scarborough down, but I'm still...
Well, he's playing for his... He's being professional. Unlike maybe Nigel Pearson. Mm. In this quote, he said, "The players were nervous in the dressing room ahead of the Plymouth game. Nigel Pearson was in his first job in management and started to hand round a bottle of brandy. The players were taking a swig from it. Unbelievable when you look back now, but the manager was trying to settle everyone down.
Brandy.
When people give brandy to babies to help them sleep.
Dropping the henny.
Are you nervous, lads? Well, have a swig of this.
Why have you brought it along?
Why is it even...
Maybe there's just a drinks cabinet in the changing room.
Hidden inside his tactics book, like in a little flask.
Oh, dear.
Terrible.
Yeah. So
check if anyone is ostrich. Give players brandy. That's all that will say.
That's right. He had to drop one of those things, didn't he, when he became a Premier League manager. There we are. Nigel Pearson, how little we knew thee. Now then, what about this, ladies and gentlemen? Sven and the Philippines are through to the semi-finals of the Suzuki Cup.
It's like a fungus has taken over Marcus's brain.
Mate, I'm talking...
It's like one of those ants. He's going to climb up onto the highest leaf and just die.
Hang on.
To get nearer to Sven.
Are you not happy?
I'm not you're right, actually. I'm not sure I trust that this is even you speaking.
Yeah.
I've been taken over.
Sponsored by the Suzuki Cup.
Yeah, the odds of Marcus mentioning Sven next week with Bet365 are a decent shut the fuck up, Marcus.
I am pleased for the people of the Philippines. Can I not be? They've never won this competition. They're in the semi-finals. They've played some good stuff, I presume. And
not even watched any of it.
I've seen the highlights.
You got your Google alert.
Boop. It's not what the fungus demands.
The Svengus. The Svengus has taken control. It's going to be a big Sven mushroom blown out your head.
Oi, they're doing well. We'll keep you up to date on that, ladies and gentlemen.
No, we won't. You will.
I bloody will. And you will, as by association. Let's go over to Japan.
Whoa.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
The fungus is over to you, big boy.
Fungus is beginning in my trousers.
Lucas Podolski was getting all angry in the J-League, wasn't he? Yeah. What was that about, that Peter?
It's a bit of a scrap, wasn't it?
Yeah, was there a 14th injury?
104th minute.
Equaliser.
Yeah, by a goalkeeper.
Yep.
Lovely.
Speaking of Jimmy Glass.
We did, the annoying thing is, I couldn't find any of the highlights of the goalkeeper actually scoring. Yeah,
all the highlights I could see.
It's not even Podolski having a scrap.
I can find highlights of the Philippines, boys.
Well, apparently you don't, though.
Yeah. Oh, I do. They're sent to me.
But there was a lot of incident in that game, but so much of it, and this is... I love this. We're all just school children in the end of it. It's like, if there's a bit of a row after a game, it's like someone's having a fight in the playground and everyone runs over to YouTube to see it.
Definitely.
Someone put some spicy chili sauce in his kebab.
Anders Iniesta was trying to break it up.
Yeah.
He was trying to be a peacemaker and I thought, that's nice. But yeah, Lucas Podolski was really, really angry. I was just thinking, don't worry about it.
Iniesta's been playing quite well for... Vissel Kobe.
I imagine he is.
Yeah. You'd expect that, wouldn't you?
You'd hope so, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Certainly, yeah. But I forget his name, the chap who got sent off for the red card. That was a definite red card, wasn't it? Elbow to the face.
Yeah, can't do that.
Oh, by the way, honourable mention for Jordan Henderson, sent off for Liverpool.
Yeah.
Walked just... before the red card came out. But fair play.
You rarely see that.
Yeah.
Rarely see
for
that.
For a second yellow.
Silly as well. Like, both of those bookings were hugely avoidable.
He knew. He walked, Jim. Give him a bit of credit for the walking.
Knew.
All right, fair enough.
There we are, ladies and gentlemen. We'll end it on that note. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble. Of course, we're back on Thursday for the preview show. Say goodbye, Pete Donaldson.
See you later, babies.
Play the outro.
All right.
Say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
Laters.
Say goodbye, me. Bye. And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. See you on Thursday. There's the tune. We're off.
What's wrong with you? It's the Svengus.
This was a Radio Stakhanov production. No,
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.